You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. It's like this is a dream I had, that this was the thing that was gonna happen, and I woke up and went, no, of course that would never happen. They're never going to get Patrick Stewart to come back to play Jean-Luc Picard in a new show about that character. That's never going to happen. I'd given up on that dream.
Well, didn't you think that because he said he wouldn't do it?
No, he definitely said he wouldn't do it for a very long time. I mean, that was part of it, but okay. Even so, you know what I mean? It feels like one of those dreams you wake up from, like, oh man, I had this great dream that show happened and I really liked it and that was cool, but now I'm sad because it's never going to happen. And yet here we are.
For sure. Because he's my favorite captain, so I was like, I need more Picard.
Oh.
It happened, so yeah.
Okay, Paloma. So I'm curious to know, because the eternal question, we've got Martin, Marco, and Paloma here, along, of course, and me, Chris. Who's your favorite Star Trek captain of all time?
Oh, dude, I grew up with Kirk, so it's always going to be him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Kirk, but I have to admit, over the past several years, I've come to just embrace Picard. I never didn't like him. I always liked him. But it's taken all these years to make me go, you know, Kirk was great for his time. Picard feels more relevant and more useful today than Kirk does.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Picard is infinitely better.
Yeah,
you didn't ask me who was the best captain. But if you ask me about my favorite, Kirk is who brought me into this.
And no, Picard just went like, "Can we punch it?"
My favorite is always going to be Captain Jean-Luc Picard. He was my first captain, so I think he'll always have he'll have a very special place in my heart, forever.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching the original show. I love Kirk and all that, but the show that I had the bonding with my father, who introduced me to the original show, was Next Generation, where we're like, this is a show we're watching together. And then it continued on to other people, where it was like, oh, we're all really into this. I remember being at literally a party of people who you would never think would be into Star Trek, but were, with the Borg two-parter, with Picard becoming locutious of Borg and doing a party for the, like, oh, this is a whole bunch of people gathered in a house who are not really geeky type people, a bunch of heavily tattooed people really into, oh my God, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next.
It's funny because you had that, but what I had growing up, because despite how old I am, I was actually not born when the original series was on, but I caught in reruns all the time. And in high school, me and a couple of my best friends, they would do a marathon for all weekend long of the entire original series. And we would come over to my house and just stay up all night for the entire weekend watching all of those.
I actually have a Locutus of Borg figurine in my house, actually, because of that I go to a couple of Star Trek groups, and so that was one of the things I was able to win at one of them, and it was very, very cool. It's one of my favorite figurines I have.
Now, you are a serious Star Trek nerd. I respect you more now just by knowing that.
I've got a lot of, I mean, you don't see, but people, of course, the listeners can't see it, but I have a bunch of Star Trek-y stuff back in one of my bookshelves.
Really come out as a geek more than I ever have before since this isolation started, because I still have to go out and do stuff because I have another job, and people still try to shake my fucking hand, and I'm like,
are you serious? Even now?
Yeah, I swear to God. And I go,
really?
Hey, wow. No offense, but I don't do that. I do this and put up the Vulcan salute.
Now, let's be fair. Honestly, Chris, some of those people just want to infect you. There are probably a few people who are like, fuck this guy. I'm giving him the corona. Yeah,
that's probably true. I also always say alternate option is the Wakanda salute. I will do that as well. That's what makes you happy.
Wakanda or Yara.
So sneezing in your direction is no longer a viable salute. Is that what you're telling me? I mean, in Spanish, when you sneeze, people go, salut. So I think of it as a salutation. So if I'm sneezing in your general direction, please know it's a very high compliment. Or I want you to die. One or the other.
Did everyone else here watch Discovery?
Not yet.
I absolutely did. Yeah. It was actually one of my top two favorite shows the years it was on.
I enjoyed the first season. I think the second season is one of my favorite seasons of that year, of all the shows I was watching.
Yeah, I thought the first season was kind of flawed, but the second season was like, oh, now you got it.
Exactly. I feel like the first season was like, didn't feel like, I mean, I hate to say this word, but didn't feel like Star Trek. In the second season, like, this is Star Trek, you've got it. You found it out.
It's so funny how I was different in as much as I was like, When they were doing it, I was like, oh, great, another Star Trek show. And then it was so different that it was refreshing, and it really woke me up. And I was like, yes, this is what I've been wanting, for Trek to just do something different. Only to find out all the hardcore Trek fans are like, no, this sucks, it's not Trek. And then finally in the second season, we all came together. Like, all right, now we can all hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and agree this is what we've always wanted.
There are things I need Trek to be feel like Trek. And one is not totally not doing that, but it's making some missteps here and there of Discovery. Two is more like, okay, we're there, and then it ends on like the best ever cliffhanger since the Borg cliffhanger from Next Generation. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That's what's happening next? All right, so then now we're gonna have to wait for a while, but we get Picard, which was the most exciting thing to happen to me in my entire life. I'm just gonna say it right now as a Star Trek fan, like, to know that Patrick Stewart was like, I'm doing another show, I'm gonna do it with this group of people. I've
your
already
wife
seen
is nowhere within earshot, right?
No, she's fine. She'll never hear this. It's fine.
Okay.
No, I love Patrick Stewart. First off, in real life, he's one of the most charming, amazing guys ever, right? Am I not wrong? Who doesn't want to see more of him, Ian McKellen, pretending they're gay together? That's great. I love that. Right?
Yes, exactly. You've seen them kissing?
Yeah, it's the best. He is my captain. I love what Next Generation did. And I love that this new show, Picard, is not trying to exactly recreate that either. It's like, no, this is a different... We're not doing... I mean, like, if anybody wants to see the old school style of Star Trek episodes, that's what the Orville's for. You can go watch that.
Right.
That's what I kept saying when people were bitching about the first season of Discovery. I was like, listen, all that Trek that you like is still out there. And you got the Orville.
That's what I did. I watched Discovery and Orville at the same time, so I got both.
Yeah, that's good too. I like watching that too. But I also like watching this show and this plot line evolve. And I think that Picard is a delicate balancing act, to say the least. I mean, you have Discovery, which is no previous characters. It's a very aggressive show.
Yes.
No question about it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's wartime show. It's its own thing, but it's the first of the new Treks to be like one long continuing story. Picard doing the same thing, but with Patrick Stewart, who is, you know, everybody's dad. Who's coming in like every time you're like, I'm stressed. He goes, you know, the thing about your stress is the universe is filled with, you know, I mean, he speechifies a lot, but we kind of want that.
He does.
That there's a feeling of comfort that comes from that, but are we going to make that work in the context of a bigger storyline? And I will say, I think it does.
They do a good job of avoiding the member berries, even though they're there.
Yeah, they're there, and they're like, hey, if you had been around before for Next Generation, here's some nice things for you. But if you have it, don't worry about it. Just keep going.
He's still going to say engage. Don't worry. That's going to happen.
And Sir Patrick Stewart is a true Shakespearean actor. So when he does speeches, you there's this elegance to them. So it works.
Yeah. What I love is how in the penultimate episode where he's speechifying and somebody calls him out on it.
Yeah.
You feel like, hey man, shut up and let him finish.
But it also becomes a plot point because they're like,
this is what we're here for.
We can't let this guy talk because he's too convincing, so we got to get him out of here.
Yeah.
You know, they literally go, no, you're too compelling.
I like that.
We need to put you away.
We have to put you in home arrest, so you can't talk to anybody else. You can't like get somebody in your side. I like that.
I like that they found a way to address the biggest Picard, like, is the Borg thing still part of you? And found a way to do it totally differently than we were expecting it to do. Like, holy crap. It's a thing where the Borg have been completely defeated. It's over for the Borg. And they are trying to save the remnants of the people who had become Borg and make them come back to the Federation, what have you. I like that they have the Romulans, who are a big part of this, because the Romulans are always dealt with for all the other Star Trek species as just series. For just they're just the bad guys. They're like the maybe they're going to be bad guys at the main bad guys. Maybe they'll just be the guys who pop their head in for a minute and go, "We're not interested in your bullshit." I like that they're kind of start as the main bad guys and then become sort of like, but they do have a really solid point here.
Yeah. I love that, that you get to go like, hey, man, the Romulans are assholes, but it doesn't mean they're wrong.
And I also like how they develop their characters. Like, I love, like, Laris and Zaban, who's, you know, we start off, you know, being kind of assistants or kind of living caretakers of Picard and helping him with the winery or with the vineyard. And I thought it was really cool that we got to see them as, like, real people as being developed rather than just, like, these kind of mysterious beings we don't really know anything about. Like, now we get to know that, you know, they go through the house in the back way or whatever like that. They don't have a front door. The front door is kind of this illusion.
Oh, Paloma, I'll tell you, I hate the fact that those characters just disappear from the show at some point, because at a certain point, because I was like, I love those guys. Yeah. They're Picard's, like, butlers.
They were my favorite new characters, actually, the whole series.
I hope they come back in season two, which is already in the cards. All right, so one of my biggest complaints here about this show is that I wish that all the returning characters had more to do. Like, Picard is there. He's great. Largely, his job is to come out and go, like, you know, your problem is that you don't, you know, philosophical epithets. Where's more Hugh? Why is Seven of Nine not a bigger character than she should be outside of the previous episodes? I kind of wanted this whole season to be like, why is Picard the only continuing character from the original show? I kind of would have liked to have seen, like, you pick at least one other character from
the show's called Picard, so.
Here's a bigger question. How is Seven of Nine just as sexy now as she was 30 years ago?
Jeri Ryan still looks great, so.
Yeah, now she's got some miles on her. She's even more sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, now she's not wearing this weird, embarrassing suit that they made her wear in that era. She just is dressed like a normal person. You're like, you're so much hotter now.
Yeah. She's got some Rene Russo vibes going.
And she's more of a, like, more of a real person. And I feel like the way they edited it, I feel like they set it up so she maybe still be more of season two.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's kind of like not for the
group. I mean, I could see a 7 of 9 spinoff off of this.
Yeah, there are rumors about a spinoff. Nothing is confirmed. Oh. I mean, wegotthiscovered.com, which is always full of
lies. There you go.
Say, it's happening.
Enough with the spinoffs.
Yeah, right.
Let's just focus on these two shows for
a minute. I mean, I'm surprised they agree to do two of these.
I would not be surprised to see 7 of 9 come back.
And a character who's never interacted with Picard. Not in Generations, and has never shared any screen time. It's a nice little surprise because it's two characters who obviously know of one another, but the one thing they have in common, of course, is that they have both been associated with the Borg. And it's really the only legacy character other than Hugh that Picard, I should say, can talk to about being a Borg and what that means to him.
That's very true.
That's his support group right there.
Full on spoiler review. Picard finds out that there's other sentient life forms that are synthetic out there, and maybe there's not the only one. I honestly kind of got weepy when the first one died in the show. I was like, what?
I was sad.
Yeah, Issa Briones is doing a really surprisingly good job as just playing multiple androids, which was so cool, Dodge being one of them.
Forming a new team of, like, Firefly style, like
very Firefly. Yeah.
Very Firefly, rough crew,
non-Federation
approved of going out, which I like.
Yeah.
I honestly like it in concept, and I like most people, but the one consistent thing I didn't like was that Captain Rios, that actor, because him playing all the different holograms, I was like, all right, this guy, it's like he suckered them into, like, let me play all these characters because I can do all these great accents. And I was like, you could do caricature accents, but this is completely unnecessary.
I am with you. Yeah, I hated the holograms.
I could see them going, hey, it saves money. We only have one actor on the call sheet. So there you go.
It was too much. It was a cute idea. But they should have limited it to one alternative version of him.
Well, especially when he was the ship's engineer and he's doing the Lucky Charm Scottish accent. I was like, dude, this is just embarrassing now. how is with all these adults on set, how is nobody stopping to go like, hey, we're going to cut this part out. I'm sorry, we're not doing this.
It was an attempt to add humor to a rather dark season overall of Star Trek. I get what they were going for. It didn't really work.
Are you suggesting that Star Trek has never been corny?
I like the actor as his primary character. But even then, they felt like they were stretching a bit to get him with his relationship, with the his romantic relationship that's going on in the show.
Oh my God, that came out of nowhere.
I was like,
there was no lead-in.
Yeah, no lead-in.
We already stopped Chris from describing the plot, which is what we always do. He starts off with a synopsis, and then we derail him really quickly.
It's okay. Like I said, this is a spoiler show. The idea is, we all want Data back. Guess what? You're not going to get Data back.
Right.
But here's the evolution of what Data created. It's not as satisfying in that way. But I will say that, in terms of finale, which we'll get to, I felt like we had a very satisfying Data moment.
Oh, yeah. They brought him back in a very satisfying way.
I have to say that the one problem I had, I think, overall with the show, while I really loved it, was I feel like they had a problem with character development. And also, logically, setting things up so it makes sense when it happens. I don't think that the relationship between Narek and Soji made any sense to me at all. They had no chemistry. Why she seemed to fall for him and trust him so easily was a mystery. Narek and Narissa would happen with Narissa, how she could magically seem to come to different places without any context. Why is she suddenly here and why is she there? They're just and with Eleanor as well, who is a kind of a young Robin Lynn warrior, part of a kind of special nun group. He was an orphan, so he was raised by nuns who were, I believe, an Athlete Condor, so Condors who can't lie. And I feel like after his first episode, after Condor, where he was introduced, after that, he had no character development. And just use a comic relief. And I find that kind of annoying.
Yeah, his whole job was to be both whoa, Picard is awesome, and to be funny on occasion of how little he knew.
He was the innocent who could kill you. That was his thing. He was a little kid still.
The history of Star Trek since Next Generation has been about them trying to find what makes that Data / Spock thing work in the chemistry of this. And sometimes they try a little too hard to insert that. And this is an example of that. But I like the character. I really do. I like the idea of him being super loyal to Picard and wants to be there for him. He's a samurai surrogate kid to Picard. Yeah, that's awesome. I like that. But they overplayed it.
He's like Wesley, only cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and being a samurai is cool, but you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, which he often did.
Yeah, my only complaint is his development. I like the idea of him. I also even like him in the episode after Condor. I just wish that they had worked more, done something more with him. I feel like it was wasted.
There's some problems with character development, but I think that comes basically down to the script and the structure of it. There's a lot of characters in this, and the story is very convoluted, and a story that's already very dense. They decide to throw all of these characters in, and they do this very contemporary thing, which is every character on screen has to have a backstory. And so that bogs everything down, because you're at some point you go, I don't really need to know about that person. I don't need to know that she had a child and she's estranged from him, or that this guy grew up on a planet without any male authority figures and now he wants a daddy. I don't really need all of that. It's okay when it's there, but it's a case of they do it, they introduce it, but they don't have enough time to really delve into it because they're too busy trying to tell this very big story that is extremely convoluted.
I think that they are doing a really good job at trying to give everybody a backstory, as you should. You shouldn't just have a character who's the main crew that we have no idea of what motivates them. But
that was Discovery's issue.
But they were kind of weird choices. To do that with, because they were oh no, it's wrapped up now, don't worry about it.
Well, like, it was okay. the amount of time they spent on some where it could have been a sentence or two or a scene. I kept feeling like, huh, this series, like so many series we've seen, probably could have been two or three episodes shorter than it was for what the plot they were laying out. But yeah. Like what Captain Rios kept talking about, you know, alluding to, like, well, what happened with my captain? Well, my thing with my captain. And when he finally told it out, I was like, dude, that was it? Okay. I don't know that you needed to drag it out over this much time, but okay.
Whatever. I know. I was kind of like, really? That was worth putting in here? But, you know, I mean, it's not a huge amount of... This isn't a 23-episode season, so I didn't feel like, oh, tons of filler. But I, at the same time, went, like, stuff like that goes, like, why are we spending time on that instead of, like, moving this forward? There's a lot of Picard just, like, lecturing people and people going... Whatever, old guy.
I know. That would keep happening. I was like, hey, it's Picard, goddammit. Listen to it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like when he came to the Starfleet Academy or the Starfleet headquarters, and, like, nobody knew, people didn't know who he was. I'm like, what? He's Picard.
Yeah, exactly. I think it starts strong. It has a sag in the middle where with that sort of shit. And then by the end, it's...
Yeah.
Getting really where it needs to be.
I could totally say that whatever problems I had with all the episodes in between, those last two episodes were phenomenal. They really nailed it.
I agree. Oh. And I think it has a really strong beginning as well.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. It hooked me from the beginning. I mean, part of it was like, well, goddamn, they killed a black guy 5 minutes into the show. But then I was like, all right, well, they also killed the main girl we were following, too. So.
Dude, that was the first message you sent me when I sent you the first episode. You were like, fuck this show. I was like, there will be other black guys.
I didn't say fuck this show, but I was like, is this a trend now? Because we had just seen it in that underwater aliens ripoff. It's like,
I'll be fair. When you sent me that message, like, they literally killed the black character in the first episode. I was like,
in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah,
we don't know Tuvok isn't showing up.
That's true. I actually think it'd be cool if they had Tuvok in the second season. That'd be a cool add-on.
Oh, Paloma, I'm with you 100%. I really hope Tuvok shows up in the next season. He's one of my favorite. Not Next Generation original series characters, for sure.
Yeah. I'm a big Vulcan fan, so whenever they have a Vulcan on, I'm like, yes. As a main character, I'm like, yes. But also, that was what was cool about the Romulans, was they're like Vulcan cousins, so it was cool to see more about them as well.
You know, that's the thing about the Romulans. They do kind of annoy me, because I'm like, you could have worked harder to make these two species a little more distinct. They're like, you got pointy ears and a bad haircut. That's it. That's your look. I'm like... There are literally times where I'm like, I feel awful saying this, but they all look alike to me.
No, this one they had it. They made.
How
they
dare
made,
you?
But they made three different versions of a Romulan. They made Romulans that look a lot like QS Romulans, and ones that look more like Next Generation Romulans, and ones that have this weird kind of edge on there, like Calvin timeline Romulan with like edges on their foreheads.
Unless you got to be a sexy Romulan, then they don't do the makeup too heavy on you.
I'm at some point kind of like, guys, you're already having trouble with the Klingon different foreheads. Why are you trying to expand this to Romulans?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, Klingon should be the only race that we're like, there's eight different foreheads. Don't worry about it. We'll explain it eventually.
All right. So did anybody, and it could be just me, but anybody have a problem with Merrick? Is that his name? Who was supposed to be so handsome, yet he had these super crooked British teeth.
Yeah, I hated Narek, so I'm with you. I mean, first of all, this whole handsome thing is just like ridiculous. But also the fact is that it seems to be that at first he's just the hot heady pot, and then they're like, oh no, he's very smart and he can figure out all these little like puzzles. And then after that, he's no back to just chasing her.
Yeah.
So it's like they never ever really pick out who this guy is.
I was just more confused why he had the hots for his sister.
They seem to have some kind of incest thing going on. And they were supposed to actually... I read that they were going to, like, do it, like, straight on, like, full incest. And they're like, no, we can't do full incest. And they decided to make it, like, them flirting.
Mm. Ah, see, that's where it fucked up. If they had explored that, the idea how fucked up that relationship really was in a real way, and that coming into it, and maybe even in saying, like, in Romulan culture, that's not an issue or something. Wow, what an interesting new thing that would have been to bring into this mythology. And there's no reason that that's like, yeah, I'm not trying to be fucking like kink weird. I'm just saying, like, that would have been a really interesting thing to bring into the mythology. That's not unheard of. As it is, their relationship is kind of like, why are you, you seem like you really are like, they want to keep emphasizing, no, I do, I think I love this girl, even though I think everyone like her should die. And the sister, I don't know, it never really sells that part of it. The biggest
relationship at all.
That goes back to what I was saying earlier, in that they've stuffed this over convoluted plot with a lot of interesting characters, but then they feel like they have to give them all a backstory or have to give them all something that makes them kind of interesting and unique. I'm like, it was enough that, you know, they were brother and sister, and he was the brother who was sleeping with their target. That was plenty of family tension there. We didn't need some weird, kinky plot that didn't go anywhere.
The Romulan stuff in here started as the most interesting stuff, as a big-time, old, like, I want to know everything about the Star Trek universe guy.
Right.
But it never delivered it.
Go full Lannister or get the fuck out. Is what I'm saying.
So let's just talk about how this thing ended. Crazy good on the end.
I think it did too. The only problem I had was that, you know, Picard's death was one of those things where they'd already teased the other module, you know, Android module that needed a consciousness. So playing
the golem.
It was Chekhov's golem.
Was like, yeah, any of us who've been around, we know what's going to happen. So unique, you can stop pulling the heartstrings. It reminded me of Casino Royale, where you're 4/5 through the movie, and they're like, oh, well, he's quit now, and he's living this other life, and they're really playing it out. It's like, guys, we know there's other movies where he's still a secret agent, so knock it off with trying to fool us into thinking he's dying. That said, even though once they finally get to it, it still plays out beautifully, and I really enjoyed it. Like every problem I had with the series went away with the last two episodes.
The one thing I thought through with that was they set it up where with announcing, oh, we're working on a golem idea that you can integrate a pre-existing intelligence into a synthetic humanoid. So it's either going to be Picard into it or it's going to be Data into it, because they've announced we've got Data's entire mentality somewhere here on our computer, or it's going to be Picard. And the moment they're like, Picard is dying and we've also announced season two, I was like, well, clearly it's going to be Picard.
Yeah, announcing season two shoots the ending in the foot.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think I'm not sure how I feel about him being like an android now, Picard being an android. But I was kind of pissed off that they had all these scenes of them crying, like Rios crying and Soji crying, and I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, the thing, yeah. And then they went to him talking to Data, which I love. Another scene between him and Data talking about like how important death is to humanity, being about being a person. And thought there was a beautiful scene, but they're like, okay, they're gonna make him into an android. That's. But then they're like, why do you show us being all these people being depressed? It seems like either skip that part or have actually die. I think there was a
level of like no one else knew, because let's face it, the synths are not exactly forthcoming with information to humans, and that's what I took away from it. Was like, we're not entirely sure this is gonna work. To be fair.
And you'd think the Brent Spiner character would be a little upset about it. I had an issue with the golem myself, because once it's there, like I said earlier, it's Chekhov's golem. It's established. We know somebody's going to use it to miraculously come back from the dead. Chris is right. It's either going to be Data or it's going to be Picard. I'm wondering, like, why the hell wasn't the Brent Spiner character more pissed off? He was like, hey, that's my golem. I spent years working for that. But hey, you could have it. Why the fuck not? That last episode or two, those last two episodes, as impactful as they were, as emotional as they were, narratively, were kind of a clusterfuck. There's a lot of Deus Ex Machina. There's a lot of really lazy writing in that. Here's this magical tool that, what does it do? Oh, it does whatever you think. Just imagine it. I'm like, why are you all amazed about androids? And then one of them hands you, like, basically a genie in a bottle that can make that can conjure up an entire fleet.
It's a Green Lantern ring.
Why aren't we talking about how amazing that technology is?
And yet, it gave me the things I wanted. I was...
No, it does.
It does. But Marco's not wrong. It was one of those things where, like, oh, we've given you a device that can do anything. I was like, oh, does this have Deus Ex Machina copyright symbol on the bottom of it?
No, they're like, we only have so much fuel for this machine, is the rule. They went, like, oh, well, you can't do it all the time. It's only when the plot requires it for future seasons.
Yeah, I guarantee you, that fucking tool better come back. Because if you have the most powerful, like, repair tool in the world, and then it's like, we just leave it alone, then it really is the laziest plot point of all time.
No, I want to see problems come up with it. Picard is living in a synth body. He is no longer a human being. He's in a synth body. Yeah. I want to see something go wrong because of that. But sure. I don't want it also to be, like, I don't want that to be the next season. I want that to be, like, way down the line. I want that to be a thing like, oh, you forgot about this.
Well, there's not too much way down the line anymore for Patrick Stewart.
Well, that's
the sad thing.
I hope they play with the Borg, actually, next season. I know we're not going to talk about that yet, but I actually really want to... I feel like the Borg stuff wasn't really explored that much. It was more like a backstory kind of way of kind of... getting into the synth stuff, so it'd be kind of cool to see them explore that a little bit more than they did before. Because now, like, Son of Dinos is a big part of it. Maybe that's what the big plot point of next season.
Well, they did a weird thing with the Borg where they were kind of like, there's no more Borg. The Borg are totally, like, I mean, they're just emasculated. They're done.
Right.
Like, that whole thing is not even a worry. And then they introduce this whole, oh, they're synths from an entirely different, like, galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
That are, and first off, I had no problem with that, but I hated the way they represented it. Like, oh, tentacle arms coming out of a wormhole thing. I was like, that's lame. Don't do that. That was stupid.
I don't want to see another movie end with a portal being closed.
Yeah, it makes me think of Marvel a little bit.
No, it was kind of felt Marvel. You're
it
right.
felt very Marvel.
Like, oh, this is the Thanos that maybe we'll get back around to if we feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think nobody wanted it to be just greatest hits of the next generation.
Oh, I think plenty of people wanted that, but I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, I wanted that.
But I think they were smart to withhold that. I mean, what we do get from the legacy characters is fantastic.
Yeah, Nemesis was my favorite season, my favorite episode.
Bringing in, you know, original characters is always dicey, but like the way they did that on the episode where he goes talk to Will and Deanna, it's like, it's so great to see those characters again. And of course, we know that, you know, Riker's gonna have he's gonna come back eventually. Well, that's kind of telegraphed. I think that's perfect, because if they had to take time, this story already has too many characters and too many subplots already. That's already its big weakness. So then to, like, shoehorn in Worf and, hey, where's Geordi and what the hell is Wesley up to? I want to see all of those old characters again, but only if it makes sense within the narrative.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're going to do. I can't wait for Guinan next season. We're going to have Guinan back.
Yeah, I think bringing all those characters back
in... Yeah, Guinan's coming back.
Could have that feeling like the way the first season of Better Call Saul, when they would bring in characters from Breaking Bad, and it just felt like they were going, huh? Huh? And when they stopped doing that, it got so much better. And so here, I was afraid that would be the case. But when they brought in the characters from the old show, it worked out just well. And yeah, while I was watching, I was like, all right, dug the first episode, kind of lukewarm on a bunch. The one where they bring back in Riker and Deanna Troi, I was like, wow, I love this episode. They really knew how to bring them back in. And yeah, and those two at the end. Now, I disagree with you guys where I liked the first season of Discovery better because there was so much more going on. It was more daring.
Wow.
However.
Oh, interesting.
But with this, because this was more treading on familiar territory and going over, you know, what people already like. But still, by the time it was done, I was like, man, I really enjoyed this and I'm looking forward to the next season. And God damn it, they might make me keep my subscription to CBS All Access. even though they have nothing else I want to see at all.
It's Star Trek. I mean, we like
do what I do is I delete it, and then I take it back whenever the show I like comes back. I rescribe, so I kind of go on and off.
I was so hoping Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone would be like, I know, right? My God, and it was not.
No,
it was not.
No.
It was not. No, yeah. There was. I will say there were some good episodes, and then there were some really bad episodes with Twilight Zone. But I liked some of them.
You'll have to email me and tell me what the good episodes were.
I will. I'll find them.
Let's go to final thoughts, Marco.
Yeah. So, like I said earlier, I think there's too many characters in this. There's too many subplots, too many backstories to tell a story that is complicated. Yes, but it didn't need to be this convoluted. However, Patrick Stewart is a gem. It's great to have him back. Look, let's be honest. We only have him for a limited time, and I think they did the smart thing of finding a way to bring the ending out in such a way where it's manipulative as hell because you get the big fake out with the death. But I'm glad they didn't just bring him back as, oh, he's 20-year-old Picard, so now you could have another 30 years of Picard. I'm glad they didn't do that because I let Patrick Stewart retire the character when it's his time. Those last two episodes, I'm with Martin. I thought they were a lot of fun. They were fantastic, but lazy in terms of the writing. But you don't care about that. What you care about, ultimately, is the relationships, especially between Data and Picard. And we've waited 30 years to watch this play out. And those bits, those are like little sonatas within a greater work. And those moments are beautiful and make the ride worthwhile. I definitely recommend this, and I look forward to the next season. I give this 8 out of 10 hits on the snake weed.
Paloma?
I know I complained about the lack of character development with some of the characters, but I think overall it was really great. I think all the actors, I think most of the actors did a really great job, but I think Picard really carried the show, and that's what he's supposed to do because he's the main character. I think that the songs that they had, I think, were really well placed, and not too much, but also not too little. So I think that was perfect. And as a Next Generation fan, I really loved that. And I think there was some amazing episodes, and a couple of lukewarm ones. But I think overall, it'll definitely be up there for being with the series. Not as good as some of the classic shows, but still really amazing. And I would probably give it an 8.5 out of 10 humanoid synths.
Martin?
Well, I do think the series was plagued by maybe some, as Marco said, ever so often some lazy writing. I can't skip it. And some awkward places for humor. And also having one of the main characters, Captain Rios, who I just never liked at all. All his scenes died. That being said, it was very enjoyable for the most part all the way through, and some episodes that were a true delight. A good mark of this episode was that my daughter, who had never known anything about The Next Generation, came in for the last three episodes, and she really got into the show with me. I would give it 8 out of 10 tribbles.
Michael Chabon, who wrote The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Claire. I mean, amongst many other
Pulitzer Prize winner Michael Chabon. I think you're required to say that.
Michael Chabon is the showrunner. The first time he's ever been the showrunner of anything. And he's been very vocal about this and being very humble about this and going like, I knew we weren't going to totally nail it first time out because this is the first time I've ever worked in TV. I did my best because I love fucking Star Trek. When they said Chabon was in charge, I went, ooh, I'm really interested. And he went, I'm listening very hard to what everybody's saying. I want to move this on. And has been addressing the criticisms from people that seemed largely of people who expected this to be like, who want to just watch the Orville. That's fine, too, that whole episodic thing. This is not an episodic show like the original Star Trek. This is a different creation. And it's far from perfect. I'm not going to say it isn't. But, oh my God, it delivers the emotional punches that you were hoping for. I mean, I openly wept during this last episode twice. First when Picard dies, and then when Data dies, I was like, no, I'm fucking a mess. I had to go and just heal from that. That's a lot, but it was necessary. I kind of hate that they went, now Data is no longer capable of coming back, even though we pulled our USB sticks out.
Yeah, his USB stick.
I think they put them back in. They wanted
to. He's all on his thumb drive.
Yeah, I was I'm pretty sure you can still bring it back if you wanted to, but I get it. I mean,
if the money is right, yeah.
I mean, it's really great.
Saying, I don't want to put that makeup on ever again.
It was really great that Brent Spiner was like, I'm willing to do this again, because he was very firm for years of saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And it was nice for him to come back for this. It was a really good ending for that character. It was a very heartfelt, emotional ending for that character in a way that Star Trek Nemesis was not. I wish this was better than it was, but it's still fully acceptable to a person who loves Next Generation. If you're one of those people who's like younger and you're kind of coming into Star Trek new through J.J. Abrams and Discovery, maybe this isn't going to be your thing. I like that this is trying to incorporate the idea of what Next Generation was, which was that we believe in a better world. We believe in people being better towards each other, that Discovery and the J.J. Abrams films are not interesting in exploring.
Yeah. Very true.
He is Star Trek Next Generation's Picard. He is interested in speechifying. He isn't, but doing it in a way of sort of like in a philosophy way. And I like that a lot. I like the Star Trek that is the future, that's a better future with people who have better ideals. And this is a idea that there's a stopgap in the Federation where that maybe didn't work out for a while. There was a period where everybody fucked up and Picard is the guy who comes in and goes, hey, motherfuckers, no. I'm the guy, I'm the Bernie Sanders of the Star Trek universe. I'm going to fix this.
Good point. That's good, yeah.
But I'm still going to give this 7.5 out of 10. Really cool new starship interface designs that Picard is such a badass he figures out anyway.
I was surprised.
What?
How are we giving it a lower rating than you?
You gave a lower rating than us.
How are you lower than us?
I'm giving it 7.5. I'm giving it 7.5. I don't know what
to tell you. We all said 8 at least, and you're giving it 7.5? What just happened?
7.5. Sorry.
He's the bigger nerd, so his standards are higher.
My standards are high.
Okay. Wow. Okay. They are high. I want to change mine.
I think you're high.
Motherfuckers, I'm not inviting any of y'all to the Federation when I started, is all I'm saying right now. I'm judging you.